On air, online, and on the Highland Radio app. This is Highland Radio News.
Good evening, I'm Michaela Clark with the news at 5 o'clock. Coming up in this bulletin, a checkpoint in the Gortley area of Letterkenny has now ended. Gardaí carried out the checkpoint today as part of a reconstruction of the last known movements of 36-year-old Sebastian Adamovic. The INMO has highlighted Letterkenny University Hospital as one of the hospitals which registered the highest year-on-year increases in overcrowding during the month of October. There are calls for the government to consider introducing legislation to provide greater recognition and resourcing of fire services on offshore islands. And the Shannon has been told the LEADER programme may be one avenue by which funding could be secured. Those stories to follow in full plus more, and we'll have sport with Oisin Kelly at about 5:15. But first to news, a checkpoint in the Gortley area of Letterkenny has now ended. Gardaí carried out the checkpoint today as part of a reconstruction of the last known movements of 36-year-old Sebastian Adamovic. It's exactly 1 week on since Mr. Adamovic was found with extensive head injuries in a house in the Sylvan Park. He died on Thursday in hospital, and following the results of a post-mortem, the investigation was upgraded to murder. Detective Inspector Pat O'Donnell says a number of items potentially helpful to the investigation have been retrieved following searches in the area. He spoke earlier to Highland Radio News.
There's an ongoing process of recovery of items, and we were transferring them up to the scientists in Dublin for examination. At the moment, there is a substantial number of items that have been seized for examination, and a select number of the larger number have been forwarded to Dublin for examination for forensic.
At this point of the investigation, Detective, you are still urging people in the surrounding area in Gortley to still check their gardens and so on.
Of course, I mean, people have been very good and very patient with in terms of investigations, and we've been calling back to a number of houses. I'd like to thank the public for the cooperation to date, and I'd like to urge them to continue to assist us in the Gortley area. We propose having a checkpoint in the area today. In relation to reconstruction of the day that occurred exactly 1 week today when it occurred. So we would ask people to be patient with our personnel on the ground and assist in every way they can.
The INMO has highlighted Letterkenny University Hospital as one of the hospitals which registered the highest year-on-year increases in overcrowding during the month of October. So far this year, almost 4,000 people have spent time waiting for inpatient beds at the hospital, a jump of over 220% on the first 10 months of 2016. This morning there were 27 patients awaiting admission. Speaking earlier on the 9 till noon show, INMO Industrial Relations Officer Maura Hickey says there is a serious need for a review of the processes that are in place.
I have to bring it back to the hard reality for the nurses and all the other staff, but I only represent nurses who are trying to give a high standard of care in a chaotic, reactive situation on a daily basis. The problem for nurses is that they are trying to do their best with the staffing levels that they have to deliver this high-quality service, and yet they could be tripping over trolleys of all descriptions in the wards and trying to work around patients who are placed on corridors. It's very difficult for the staff on the wards when you get additional patients and there's no additional staff coming in there. There is a serious need for a review of the processes of admission, discharge, transfers within the hospital to the community and vice versa, and referrals into the hospital from GPs.
The Seanad has been told that the LEADER programme may be one avenue by which funding could be secured to restore Swan Park in Buncrana and Glenavon Waterfall in North Inishowen. Junior Minister Jim Daly was responding to Senator Padraig McLaughlin, who told the Seanad that he is hoping to meet with Community and Rural Affairs Minister Michael Ring and Chief Whip Minister Joe McHugh in the coming weeks. Minister Daly said there are no appropriate government funding schemes currently opening. Senator McLaughlin said Swan Park and Glenavon Waterfall cannot be regarded in the same way as other projects seeking funding.
the frustration is this: this is a remarkable event, you know, an act of God event in terms of the levels of water, unprecedented levels that came up and destroyed our amenities here. And we're asking government on that basis to intervene, not to treat it as a regular application for funding, but as an extraordinary event that requires an extraordinary response. And what I would say is, unfortunately, the leader funding, as you know, is very serious problems with applications and the bureaucratic procedures that are involved in that. There's also a huge demand in a place like Donegal for the funds that are there. It's very limited. It really is not the way to address this issue.
Meanwhile, flood-affected victims in Inishowen are being advised that the second phase of the humanitarian support is now in place. €135,000 aid is to be administered by the Irish Red Cross, with applications currently being accepted. The Chairman of the Inishowen Municipal District, Councillor Jack Murray, says there are still huge issues that need to be addressed. He is urging flood-hit victims to submit applications.
Yeah, I'm happy now that as of today, the second phase is now open for applications. Obviously, there's a huge amount of damage done. There's people who still have huge concerns, huge issues that need to be addressed, so funding is available again. Thankfully, that's part to the huge generosity of the people, I suppose, across Ireland, but also in Boston, who raised a significant amount of money and have donated that to the Red Cross to be again distributed. €60,000 already been distributed, but there's a total of €135,000 has been raised, and that's now available. So anybody that wants to apply can download application forms from the Irish Red Cross website, and applications will close on the 25th of November.
And of course, as you said, this wouldn't potentially be available if it weren't for the generosity of those near and afar.
Yeah, of course, it's been overwhelming. The generosity of the people has been spectacular, particularly over in Boston, where a huge amount of money has been raised. Tens of thousands of euro has recently been come across to the Red Cross for the people who are so badly hit by the flood. So it's really unbelievable what those people have done.
There are calls for the government to consider introducing legislation to provide greater recognition and resourcing of fire services on offshore islands. A report commissioned by the Donegal Fire Association earlier this year found that Armagh Island Fire Station was not meeting minimum standards. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says there are genuine concerns among island communities over the poor state of equipment and resources available to fire personnel on Armagh and Tory Island. Donal Kavanagh has more.
Responding to a question tabled by Deputy Doherty, Housing, Planning and Local Government Minister Owen Murphy stated he is satisfied with the existing arrangements for fire safety and firefighting in isolated communities, and the siting of fire stations is a local matter to be determined by the relevant fire authority. The Sinn Féin Finance spokesperson says island communities remain shamefully forgotten about, despite the increasing number of reports suggesting chronic levels of under-resourcing of fire services on Donegal's islands. Deputy Doherty has pledged to continue to work closely alongside island communities to ensure that their voices are heard.
The Taoiseach says people on average wages should be able to afford a mortgage to buy themselves a home. Leo Varadkar was responding to questions in the Dáil about what he sees as affordable in his Republic of Opportunity. The exchange came as figures show house prices rose on average 12.8% in the year to September. The Taoiseach says there are signs of supply increasing.
I can't give you a numerical definition of affordable housing. Obviously, that depends on the individual, but I certainly would think that somebody who earns the average income in the state should be able to get a mortgage and should be able to purchase a home with that. It is about supply. It's not just about supply, but it is about supply. And I'm encouraged by the fact that planning permissions are up, construction is up.
An Indian restaurant in County Donegal was forced to close last month after a pond of human excrement was discovered in an area where staff were preparing food. A report from the Food Safety Authority of Ireland detailing non-compliances said that an overflowing manhole had resulted in a pond of human excrement gathering beside a shed where the potato peeler was also located at Saffron Restaurant and Takeaway in Creaslaw. Paul Quinn reports.
The report alleged that staff would be standing in the excrement while using the potato peeler, thereby carrying the excrement into the restaurant on their shoes. The report also found dirt, mould and encrusted food on windows and sinks and on floors and doors throughout the premises, while food storage containers in the fridge were covered with black mould. There were other non-compliances detailed in the report, which included the presence of dead flies in oil used to baste pizza dough. Saffron was served with a closure order for grave and immediate danger to public health on its premises. The closure order was lifted on October 27th.
Donegal County Council has begun road safety works on the Derry side of Carrigans, with the road being widened and a traffic island and improved signage being installed. Councillor Paul Canning says the work is expected to take about 3 weeks to complete, and he's urging motorists to allow extra time for journeys.
It's great to see that the council have moved in and are starting the works on the Derry side of Carrigans. And I would ask the people that are going through the village of Carrigans to drive with caution, the fact that there is works going on there and there will be signage and there will be traffic lights in place for the duration of the works. Now, the works is planned to be completed before the month of December, so for the next 3 weeks it will be highly intense work going on there. There was a lot of accidents. Hopefully the work that we do now will stop these accidents, and next year then we plan to do the St Johnson side.
A former soldier has been found guilty of murdering a man outside a takeaway near the Five Lamps in Dublin in August 2014. Donal Colgan of Killarney Court, Killarney Street, Dublin 1, admitted killing David Sheridan but claimed he totally lost control after being provoked. Frank Greeny reports.
David Sheridan and his friend bought some alcohol and went to Luigi's Takeaway on Dublin's North Strand Road at around 10 p.m. on August 17, 2014. Donal Colgan also ended up in the chipper after spending the day drinking in his local. Some words were exchanged outside and Mr. Sheridan's friend said the accused got rowdy. Some punches were thrown and the court heard Colgan went home and returned with a large kitchen knife, which he stabbed Mr. Sheridan with four times. He claimed he was provoked after being hit in the head with a bag of cans, but the jury rejected his defence after almost 7 hours of deliberations. In his victim impact statement, Mr. Sheridan's son Jake said he missed the special moments he spent with his dad. He said he wasn't perfect, but he didn't deserve to die, and he said he'd never forgive Donal Colgan for what he did. Mr. Justice Tony Hunt then handed down the mandatory life sentence for murder. Frank Rennie at the Central Criminal Court.
Donegal County Council is currently in talks with a private events company with a view towards establishing bus shelters in Inishowen. It's after concerns were raised locally over a lack of bus shelters on the peninsula, with the company in question now said to be sourcing suitable shelters to present to the council. The new shelters would be situated in Carndonagh, Buncrana and Moville on a pilot basis. Inishowen Councillor Nicholas Crossan has welcomed the development.
There are very, very few bus shelters in the Inishowen Peninsula, and there's people waiting on buses 10 or 15 minutes in the cold weather, in the wet weather. It's not very nice. So we have these strategically placed in places throughout Inishowen, and it will be a huge benefit to the general public.
Donegal County Museum is urging people with an interest in or knowledge of World War I to review the draft copy of the Book of Honour, which is currently being revised. A draft version is now available and people are being urged to review it before the end of the year. Museum spokesperson Judith McCarthy says they are anxious to ensure the details are correct and especially to see if there are any new names to be added.
We're keen to make sure that all of the names that we have are accurate, that the information that we have on them are accurate, and if there are names that we don't have, we're very keen to get those and the information on those as well. What we've discovered over the last number of years is that a lot of men from Donegal would have enlisted in countries like Canada, the United States, Australia, New Zealand. How we've done it is we've traced the records based on possibly their names. They may have said that their place of birth was Donegal, but it was written down in a peculiar way. It might have been written down as D-U-N-E-G-A-L, or it may just have been down as a townland, and we know that that townland is a townland from Donegal. There are bound to be people out there that we don't know about yet, but their families are still around, and they'll say, oh, well, look, we know that such and such enlisted in the army in whatever country it was, whether it's the British Army, the Canadian, etc., and we can then go and trace those records and get more information on them.
The
there is a draft already prepared that people can access either in person or online?
Absolutely, yes. They can go onto the Donegal County Council website. It's under County Donegal Book of Honour, and they can find the draft there, or they can contact the museum and they can call into us and we will show them a copy of the draft. They can have a look through the list and then see if the person is there. But also there are people that we want to confirm the details of. There are people's names that were in the original Book of Honour that are actually on memorials and church memorials in Donegal, and we can't find any further information on that, and we'd love to have information on those people.
Car owners who permit learner drivers to use their vehicles unaccompanied could face prosecution. New proposals which have been approved by Cabinet would see car owners jailed for allowing a learner to borrow their car alone. The measures would also give Gardaí the power to impound vehicles on the spot if it's being driven by an unaccompanied learner. Conor Fohan from AA Ireland says there's a simple message.
No, I don't think it's harsh at all. And there's a solution for all of those people. Pass the driving test. When you pass the driving test, conversation is over. You can drive as much as you like, wherever you like. But until you pass the driving test, you don't have a driving license.
Highland Sport is brought to you by Michael Murphy Sports and Leisure Letterkenny, where the Christmas Club is now open. Shop online 24/7 at michaelmurphysports.ie.
It's 17 minutes past five. Time for the latest sport with Oisin Kelly.
Thanks, Michaela. We start with soccer, and Cork City have continued to build upon their double winning side. They've signed Barry McNamee from Derry City. The Remelton man's addition follows the arrival of Tuba Abioba Rowland from Sligo and the fresh 2-year contract for Carl Shepherd. McNamee joins the club after playing over 150 league games for Derry. Speaking to CorkCityFC.ie, he said, "I am thrilled to get it done. It was a tough season at Derry with everything that happened, so I took my time to think about everything and I've decided that this was the right move for me," as he makes the long trip south to join Cork City. The champions, the double, of course, winners this season. Meanwhile, the skipper down at Turner's Cross is Alan Bennett, and he's been named as the SSE Airtricity Soccer Writers Association of Ireland Player of the Month for October. Now, Donegal's Amber Barrett was the star of today's Women's National League Awards as the Piemont United striker scooped the Player of the Year and the Golden Boot Award. Barrett pipped UCD Waves midfielder Karen Dugan and Cork striker Claire Shine to the Senior Player of the Year award after a fantastic season, which has helped her break into Colin Bell's Republic of Ireland Women's Senior Squad. With an outstanding 16 goals during the campaign, the Piemont ace was also crowned the Golden Boot winner. Good day for Amber Barrett, that's for sure. There's positive news on the injury front from the Ireland camp ahead of Saturday's World Cup playoff first leg with Denmark. Jeff Henrik's scan results have returned clear, and he trained alone today with a fitness coach. Stephen Ward also returned to training today, having sat out yesterday's session with a knee problem. Colm O'Dowda has been in impressive form of late for Championship side Bristol City, and he wants to make an impact if called upon this weekend for Ireland.
That's what I want to be doing, really. You look at Robbie Keane when he made his debut. He did it at a young age, so that's it, really. I want to make a name for myself on the scene. I want to play as many games as I can and go to major tournaments. But the full focus is on the one we got now. We got two big games, so that's the only thing in my mind at the moment.
Northern Ireland defender Johnny Evans says he's not worried about his teammates coping with the pressure of the World Cup playoff tomorrow. They host Switzerland in the first leg in Belfast. Evans says qualifying for Euro 2016 last year taught them important lessons about big occasions.
The most important thing is to keep your composure, and I think for us, you know, there's been a real sort of plus within our squad in the last, you know, number of years. You know, this is the success that we've experienced, and we've managed to be, you know, remain calm and composed, and I think we've really, you know, benefited from that.
In college's action, it's been a good day for LYT sides. The men's hurlers have reached the quarterfinals of the league. They had a comprehensive 8-9-3 points won over Ulster University Coleraine this afternoon in Burt. Meanwhile, the LYT ladies basketball team defeated Division 2 rivals IT Tallaght in Letterkenny on a scoreline of 59-44. Mackenzie Burb had 16 points, Faith Welsh had 15, and Sophie Walsh's 11 points helped the side secure victory. And there's another Big game to come tomorrow for the LYT. It's the Gaelic football men's team who are in Galway taking on GMIT. It is a league playoff fixture, and whoever wins tomorrow with the LYT on the road will go through to the league final. When in schools action tonight, St Union's College is taking on Inishowen, and that's in the McLaren Cup. It's a big derby match. It's in Convoy tonight. Throw-in time to that one is at 7 o'clock. In rugby, Sports Minister Shane Ross has spoken out about the recommendation for South Africa to host the 2023 Rugby World Cup. Minister Ross claims stadiums in South Africa would be regularly empty for World Cup games. Irish Chief Executive Phil Brown has written to his world rugby counterparts expressing major concerns with the process that recommended South Africa. Brown is seeking answers to questions surrounding security and the ability to fill stadiums. The letter also reminds World Rugby Council members who vote on the matter next week that all three bids have been judged capable of hosting the tournament. In boxing, WBC heavyweight world champion Deontay Wilder has accused fellow world champion Anthony Joshua of trying to dodge a match against him. He's targeting Joshua's two belts after successfully defending his crown at the weekend. In a social media video, the American says he's coming for him because it's a fight that the people want. Finally, just looking ahead to tonight on Highland on a Wednesday evening, it is of course the GAA programme. Kevin Campbell, captain of Ulster Junior Hurling Champion Setanta, along with his brother Paul, the manager, and the club chairman Jason Ewing, will be joining Tom tonight on the programme with the usual start time at 8:30. Also tonight, Ulster Ladies Gaelic Football are preparing to celebrate their 25th anniversary. Tom will also be speaking with long-serving Ulster Ladies officials Hugh Devenny of Donegal and Pat Chapman from Fermanagh. That's it, Michaela. We'll have our next bulletin tomorrow morning after the 8:30 news.
Thanks, Oisin. The Cabinet has approved a number of amendments to the Technological Universities Bill, with the revised document set to go through the House of the Oireachtas in the coming weeks. The plan is for clusters of institutes of technology to pool their resources and become upgraded to technological universities. Letterkenny Institute of Technology is a member of the Connacht Ulster Alliance, which also involves Sligo IT and Galway Mayo IT. Higher Education Minister Mary Mitchell O'Connor says she would like to see the legislation pass before Christmas, allowing consortia that are ready to apply and be assessed in 2018. LYIT President Paul Hannigan says while he's looking forward to seeing the final legislation, no one is underestimating the task ahead.
I think the work that has gone on in the bill, the discussions with different political parties, with trade unions, etc., obviously brought about significant changes to it. So we look forward to seeing those changes and see how they have manifested themselves in the bill. And also we look forward to having discussions with them over the next while to see if the bill can be passed through before Christmas.
If that does happen and it goes according to the Minister's timetable, there will be applications invited from prospective clusters early in the new year. Are you ready?
Well, I think we have a lot of work to do. There's no doubt about that, Donal. We've been working steadily towards the criteria for a technological university. There's no doubting the fact that there are gaps between where we are currently and where we want to be. So the three institutes are very conscious of where we are, and we also know where we have ground to make up. We have made a submission to the Higher Education Authority for additional funding to help us with that work. So we look forward to a positive outcome from that in the next couple of months. And we also look forward to a lot of discussion within the institutions themselves over the next while to try and progress the matter.
If the timetable goes as the Minister and yourself would like to see it go, when can we expect confirmation of status and the actual change to be implemented?
Well, I think that will take some time, Donal. I think the challenge that's there is a big one, and people will need time to try and address that. I remember being interviewed about this 4 or 5 years ago, and I said that there may be one technological university in the next 5 years, and that hasn't materialised yet. I wouldn't underestimate the amount of work that needs to be done to bring this about, so I wouldn't like to put any timescales on it. But I think it will be good if the bill is passed and there's clarity as to what the targets that people need to achieve to make that work.
On for weather now, cloudy this evening and tonight with outbreaks of rain, mainly dry later tonight, and minimum temperatures of 5 to 7 degrees. And just to have a look at the closing headlines, a checkpoint in the Gortley area of Letterkenny has now ended. Gardaí carried out the checkpoint today as part of a reconstruction of the last known movements of 36-year-old Sebastian Adamovic. Diana Moe has highlighted Letterkenny University Hospital as one of the hospitals which registered the highest year-on-year increases in overcrowding during the month of October. So far this year, almost 4,000 people have spent time waiting for inpatient beds at the hospital, a jump of over 220% on the first 10 months of 2016. And there are calls for the government to consider introducing legislation to provide greater recognition and resourcing of fire services on offshore islands. Donegal Deputy Pierce Doherty says there are genuine concerns among island communities over the poor state of equipment and resources available to fire personnel on Armor and Tory Island. And that's all from Highland Radio News for now. We'll be back with an update at 6 o'clock. Meanwhile, you can listen back to a podcast of our main evening news on our website at highlandradio.com. Good evening.
The obituary notices for this Wednesday evening, the 8th of November. The death has taken place of Breed B. Cosgrove, née Comerford, 22 Coolmore Road, Derry. Funeral from her home on Saturday morning at 9:30 for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass in St Patrick's Church, Pennyburn. Interment afterwards in Aughlegovern Cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 p.m. to 11 a.m. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of flowers, if desired, to the MS Society or Foyle Down Syndrome Trust, care of W.J. O'Brien and Son Funeral Directors, 110 Clooney Road, Eglinton. The death has taken place of Pat Heaney, Derry Gra, Golan Hill, Fawn, husband of Kate. His remains are reposing at his home. Funeral on Friday morning, leaving his home at 10:30, going to St Mary's Church, Fawn, for Requiem Mass at 11 o'clock. Burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. Family flowers only, please. Donations in lieu of desired to the Donegal Hospice, care of any family member or Murphy Funeral Directors. Family time, please, between 11 p.m. and 10 a.m. and on the morning of the funeral. The death has taken place of Bridie McGee, Clonglash, Buncrana. Her remains are reposing at her residence. Funeral from there on Friday morning at 10:15 to St Mary's Church, Cock Hill, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Patrick McGaughey, number 11, Salawilly Road, Money Gran, Dunamana. House strictly private, please, as requested by the deceased. Funeral from there tomorrow to St Mary's Church, Ahabrack, for 10 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. The death has taken place of Bridie Kelly, 9 Ardvridge, Convent Road, Carndonna. Funeral from her late residence at 10:30 on Friday morning to the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass. House private, please, at the request of the deceased. Removal afterwards to Lakeland's Crematorium, Cavan, for cremation at 4 o'clock. The death has taken place at the Donegal Hospice of Ellen McDermott, Tully Beg, Church Hill, formerly of Glasha Guidor. She's being waked at the family home in Church Hill with rosary tonight at 8 o'clock. House private, please, from after the rosary until 11 a.m. Removal from the family home at 1:30 tomorrow afternoon, going to St Columbkill's Church, Glendowen, for 2 o'clock Requiem Mass with burial afterwards in Garton Cemetery. Family and close friends only, please, before the funeral tomorrow. The death has taken place of Philip McCool, late of Mahara Moor, Carndonna. His remains are reposing at his residence. Funeral from there tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Requiem Mass in the Church of the Sacred Heart, Carndonna, followed by interment in the adjoining cemetery. Family time, please, from 10 o'clock tonight. And the death has occurred at Donegal Community Hospital of Una Gallagher, Drumcliff, Donegal Town. Her remains will repose at her late residence until 10 o'clock tonight. Her remains will leave her residence tomorrow morning at 10:30 for 11 o'clock Mass in St Mary's Church, Killiemard, with burial afterwards in the adjoining cemetery. House private, please, before the funeral tomorrow. Family flowers only, please. Donations, if desired, to the Patients Comfort Fund, Donegal Community Hospital, care of or Faulkner funeral director or any family member.